Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino, and this is part two of our check-in with Bravo celebrities throughout all of the madness. If you missed part one, I encourage you to go listen. I had interviews with Dorinda Medley, Lisa Rinna, Ariana Maddox, Jackie from The Real Housewives of New Jersey, Monique from Real Housewives of Potomac. This week, we have interviews with Sheena from Vanderpump Rules. We have interviews with Kate Chastain from Below Deck, Patricia from Southern Charm, and Bronwyn from The Real Housewives of Orange County. I got them all online. I'm so grateful to all of them for calling in. If you get a chance, thank them online on social media and just say thank you because they were all kind enough to give me a few minutes of their time. This was kind of thrown together very quickly. So I'm so grateful that they were able to call in and chat with us and just help take our minds off of everything that's going on. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy and sane. I even was DMing with Bethany Frankel, actually, who, of course, is doing so much wonderful work with Be Strong. I encourage you all to check it out. They're donating masks, and she's doing a lot of wonderful work. I'm hopeful that she'll be able to call in to the podcast at some point, but she did say you can donate to Be Strong, so check it out. You can do it on our website, and I encourage everyone to do that. Any way that we can help, right? I think I even saw people online who are like sewing masks because there's a shortage of masks. So anything that you could do to help out, I hope that this podcast at least is helping you a little bit to stay mentally okay and take your mind off things and also heal a little bit. Dorinda last week on the show, when I was chatting with her over the phone, she said something about the birds chirping outside, and it was just like, it felt like weirdly healing to me. I don't know if you guys felt that way too, but we're getting like some gossip on the shows, and then also we're healing a little bit. So if you're new to the podcast, this is your first time listening, I encourage you to go listen to one of the other, a little bit more traditional episodes. I did a recap of last week's Vanderpump Rules, which was the wedding episode with Jax and Brittany. Go listen to that. Go listen to an episode with The Detour. These interviews are a little bit different than normal because they were a sort of bonus episodes to help us all combat everything that's going on. And also I want to say these are phone interviews. So I normally prefer to do interviews in person, but these were a special scenario because we are all social distancing. So I got everyone on the phone. So thank you for putting up with the technology. It's not always perfect when you're doing a phone interview, but I thank you. What else? I want to say that if you had tickets to the live show that got postponed, they are rescheduled for later in August and September, and there are more tickets available to the Chicago show. So if you're interested, go to the VIX website. It's VIC if you're in Chicago, and there are a limited amount of tickets left for that Chicago show. For the other dates that were rescheduled, if you already had a ticket, it's just being transferred over to the new date. So that's that on that. And then let's see, we have some stuff available if you want some t-shirts or wine glasses or pop sockets. That stuff is on everythingiconic.store. Everythingiconic.store. I hate to promote all this stuff, but I got to do it. Unfortunately, my live shows were postponed. So, you know, we got to find ways to make money. And with that said, if you are able to support your small businesses, support people who might be out of work, I'm not saying me, I'm just saying other people who might have lost their jobs throughout all of this. I'm fortunate to have had some money saved, but if you can, and support the local healthcare workers just by asking them what they need or just checking in on your friends if they work for the healthcare system. If your friends work for the grocery stores, check in on them and see how they're doing. Anyone who's still working throughout all of this, check on them. And then even your friends who aren't working, check on them. Okay, that's all I'll say about that. Now let's get to our chats. What do you say we chat with Kate now? I've missed her on Below Deck. It's been a little while since the show's been off the air. So let's chat with her.
Hi.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Oh, just thriving.
Yeah. What are you up to? What are you doing to keep sane in all of this craziness?
Well, I was in New York on Thursday, and I was walking my dog, and it felt really eerie. Right. Like there's like less cars, less people, like an overwhelming sense of like impending doom. So it kind of felt to me like what it, in Florida where I grew up right before a hurricane, like before people evacuated. So I decided to rent a car and drive to Florida because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen in New York City in the next couple weeks, and I don't want to be around to find out.
Yeah. So you drove. So, you drove.
Yeah, because my dog doesn't like flying, and also I made a stop. Are we recording? Is this for the podcast?
Yeah, I can edit this out, though. Do you want
I can cut this out. No, I don't care. So I stopped in out just outside of D.C. to see a friend for a couple days and then drove and stayed the night in Savannah one night. I was self-isolating for 900 miles.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. I'm glad you're safely in Florida now, yes?
Yes. I'm staying at my best friend's house, and it's been really fun, except for all the headlines, because it's just such a bizarre time.
It's
what
constant.
Are you doing?
Well, I'm watching a lot of Bravo. I'm trying to keep sane. I'm so grateful for you for chatting. I've gotten a bunch of Bravo celebrities on the line, so I'm just trying to get some... some scoop, some stuff for us to take our mind off things. And then also it's been helpful because I've been recording, so I've been taking my own mind off of all of it. So, win-win, I guess.
Yeah, I vacillate between, obsessing and reading the hashtag updates and all the news, and then, also, forgetting about it.
Right. Right. Now, are you watching anything right now, besides the news? Are you a binge watcher person, or do you read, or what do you do to keep sane aside from the news?
All right. So we're going to do painting tonight. We're going to do a little Bob Ross Joy of Painting at home.
I like that.
For binge watching, I just got done with McMillions. I loved it.
So good. So good. Did you like Doug?
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about Doug was his wedding ring.
Right. I felt the same way, Kate. I'm so attracted to Doug.
He's just so darling. He'd be the best husband ever.
Mm-hmm. The best husband, a good dad. He just seems like a genuinely nice human being, and I want more of him on TV.
And it just sucked because I tried Googling him to see what his wife looked like, to see what my competition was. But because he works for the FBI, he's really hard to Google.
Oh, God, that's frustrating.
Annoying.
Well, he's beautiful too. I really love Doug. I want more of him. Now I want to know, you're not on a Below Deck ship right now, right?
Obviously. No, and I'm not sure. So Captain Lee and I were hosting a cruise on a cruise ship in June. I doubt that's happening now. I'm not sure. But no, I'm not on a Below Deck boat. I'm not sure anybody is on a Below Deck boat at this moment.
Right. How are you feeling now that you're taking a little bit of a break, or you're done?
No, I've retired. I've hung up my skorts.
Do you think you'll ever go back? You won't ever go back?
No. No. Doing Below Deck was kind of I was ready to be out of the yachting industry. And at first, everybody was like, because the show was new, they're like, if you do that reality show, your yachting career is over. And I was like, perfect. Win-win. Yeah. And so, but Below Deck was fun for 6 years. But I think you never want to be the last one at a party.
I like that. You're getting out on top. And I will say that the last reunion, it seemed like you were A, over it, and B, having to deal with those men seemed like a nightmare.
Yeah, the Below Deck reunion, I just didn't even really want to watch it. And I was kind of already knew I wasn't I was done with yachting at that point. I just hadn't announced it. And after such a long season, we did 18 episodes of dealing with just the social media backlash and the misogyny. I was just so tired of talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just don't feel like fighting. So I was there, but I wasn't really bringing I wasn't trying to start fights.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you. And also I did a Watch What Happens Live. I was a bartender and I asked Andy, I said, is Kate going to be doing something else on the network? What's going on? And he sort of implied that, he hopes or that you might be working together on something. Is that true? Or is there anything you could tell us? Will you be on TV again?
Well, I moved to New York in May, right after I got back from shooting the most recent season in Thailand. I literally, when I got back from Thailand, flew to New York before I even went home and got an apartment, came home and then packed. And then a month later, I was living in New York because I knew I was ready to leave yachting. And I just figured there would be more opportunity for me in the city. And so far, that's proven to be true. I'm glad that I moved to New York because I'm, in a city where there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, we want you on screen. Like, I speak for the people. We need you on screen in something.
Oh, thank you. Well, I trust your judgment and opinion very much.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. And I think I have a feeling, it's nothing I can really talk about, but I have a feeling I might be on screen again.
Okay, good. We need it. That's what Andy implied, too. So I'm taking it as fact that we're going to see you on screen. If we don't, I boycott. I riot the network.
I think, well, thank you. I hope if I'm ever on screen, I can invite you to come on with me.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love that. Now, people are all so anxious right now. Everyone's stressed out. I was wondering, this is such a cheesy question, but is there something you hold on to, a piece of advice or some advice that you could impart to other people that keeps you sane during these times? Like, I don't know, a motivational quote or something
actually,
you do?
I have this was a motivational quote that I, you know, came up with a couple years ago before COVID disaster, but I think it's in trying stressed out times, whether it be relationship stress, work stress, bills, whatever. I think this is basically my Oprah quote that I like to share with friends. It's really inspirational. It is, everyone's a little bit miserable.
Mm, I like it.
You know? Yeah, people at first they think like, oh, that doesn't sound inspirational, but it's like, it is, because once you realize everyone's a little bit miserable for some reason, you realize this is normal.
Right.
Single people want to be married. Married people want to be single. Everyone's a little bit miserable. Mm. I think I want to make a song.
And you feel not so alone. Like, that's the whole thing, right? It's like when you know that somebody else is going through a similar situation, you don't feel so alone. It makes you feel better. So I get it. I think
if you're looking at social media all day, seeing people living their best lives, because that's what they show on Instagram, it feels like everybody's thriving and you're not, because you feel a little bit miserable about something.
Right.
But once you realize everyone's a little bit miserable, it's liberating.
Social media is a true hellscape right now. I can't handle it. It's just too much. And there's a lot of misinformation being, like, people spreading just like third-hand accounts. Like, I was talking to my boyfriend, it was like, people are saying, well, my cousin's neighbor's wife's ex-son-in-law or whatever sent me this message. And it's like, they're posting it. It's like, I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to each other, but at a certain point, I think sharing some of that stuff is maybe not so good.
Well, what are they saying?
I know, just crazy stuff about the virus. But we're not here to talk about that. That's neither here nor there, Kate.
We're not here to talk about it. We're talking about other things. So, I just saw today the new promo post of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh my God, what'd you think?
Why are they dressed as like the neat Sour Patch Skittles Taste of Rainbow?
There's a lot of color work happening.
I mean, I love how you would call everything. It's a lot of neon work.
A lot of neon. I thought the trailer looked good, but I've been bamboozled by them before. You know, there's times where the trailer looks great and it's not a great season. But I think the trailer, did you watch the trailer or just see the...
No, I haven't watched the trailer. I've not really been watching TV at all.
Yeah, the trailer looks okay.
Yeah, good. Yeah. They've got just one new... edition, Gabrielle?
They got one new edition, Garcelle, and then Garcelle. Sutton is like a friend of.
Oh.
A friend of. And, you know, there's all the Denise Brandy drama. And then I chatted with Lisa Rinna for this episode, and she implied there's a lot of stuff with Denise. So I'm excited.
I mean, what do you think about the Denise Brandy stuff?
Oh, I think it happened. That's what I think. Yeah.
I met Denise at BravoCon and she came up to me and she was very friendly. And then when that news broke, I was like, oh.
Wait, how friendly was she?
Oh.
Oh my God.
I was like, am I extra flattered? Was she like maybe considering?
Oh my God. And she's gorgeous though, right? Like when I saw her.
It would be such an honor.
Right. When I saw her at BravoCon, I was like blown away by her beauty. And I'm such a huge fan of Drop Dead Gorgeous. So that's like all I wanted to talk about with her. But she's beautiful. Stunning.
Yes, of course.
But they're all implying that, like, there's stuff going on with her that, like, she's not sharing. Aside from the Brandy hookup thing, which I do think happened, I think they're all have problems with Denise. That's what Rinna had implied with me. And then also in the trailer, it seems like they all are having problems with her. But I'm curious to watch it.
Why do you think? Do you think it's because last season she was... Well, that was her first season last season, right?
Yeah, I think she was well liked.
Exactly. So now it's her turn. She's a sophomore now, and now it's time. Like, you are the sacrificial lamb.
Right. And I'm sure you know, like, you feel like sometimes the cast can, I don't want to say gang up, but sometimes they turn on each other. And
absolutely.
Usually in the first season, people are nice. And then, you know, they'll call you
out.
Well,
they have to be nice the first season, because otherwise the veterans will get accused of, like, not liking the new person. So they're, like, extra nice. But right. once you've made it through your first season, I think then the second season, they're like, well, you had your easy first season. Mm-hmm. Now it's your turn.
Do you know who's, this is an aside, do you know who's filling in for you on Below Deck? Like, who are they taking?
I actually do.
It's someone we know, right?
No.
Oh.
It's exactly who I expected, like the type of person I expected, like a blonde, yachty girl with, like, possibly an accent.
Interesting. And Captain Lee probably misses you so much.
Oh my gosh, he would call me from the while they were shooting, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, we're anchored, kiddo, and I gotta go have dinner with the guests later. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, we're gonna miss you so much on that show.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, yeah, what happened with you and Hannah? Are you guys getting along?
No, I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So she did Watch What Happens in New York in August, and I had just driven home last minute for Captain Lee's son's funeral. And then she was in New York. She's like, girl, you better get back here in time. So I was driving back because of my dog. So I drove, like, Florida to New York in,
that
like,
is a long fucking drive.
Yeah, and I was like, I could have taken another night break somewhere, but I was like, oh, I got to get back to go to Watch What Happens because Hannah's in town. I felt bad. Like, you're in New York. I live there, and I'm not there. So I drove all through the night. I get there, and I drove in late on a Saturday night while she was, like, out, and then I came to the filming on a Monday or whatever, and then we all went out afterwards, and then after we all go out, and she's, like, asking me to be in the audience at Watch What Happens, and, like, I didn't want to. I was like, I don't want to look like a groupie.
Yeah.
I hear from somebody in production, because we use the same production people, that Hannah had been talking serious shit about me. And it wasn't even true. It was like regarding salary and who makes more. And she doesn't know how much I make. So that was one thing that was weird. So I messaged her. I was like, hey, we had just hung out the night before. I was like, I don't really appreciate what I've been hearing. And she left me on read, and I've never heard back from her since.
So she must have known she was guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I almost would have forgiven her if she'd be like, oh, my God, I was talking shit. I'm sorry. But to just leave me on read and not say anything, it's kind of – and that's why she hasn't publicly, you know, addressed it, because –
because she knows she's in the wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I'm taking.
Yeah.
Do you watch any Below Deck Sailing yet?
I haven't in a while, because really, yeah. I mean, I did Below Deck for 6 years, and then I would watch Below Deck Med because a few of my friends are on it. And then I'm kind of tired of it. I need a little break.
Yeah. It feels a little claustrophobic to me, the whole thing.
Oh, I did fly out there to Greece to shoot a promo. And so I met the whole – I went on the boat they're using. I met the whole crew.
Mm.
And it was a sail yacht. Is so much smaller. I don't know how they did it. I just don't.
Yeah, I feel like you can feel it when you're watching it. It's just a little. I don't hate it. I'm behind like 3 or 4 episodes, to be honest. But
I like that it's different, because the draw. It's quite majestic when the sails go up, and it's a nice difference to just yachting, the whole sail version of it. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, Kate, I want to thank you for helping take our minds off things for a little bit. Like I said, we all miss you already. I know it's only been a short while since you've been off there, but we miss you. Thank you so much. Stay
safe. My pleasure. Have a great day.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Patricia from Southern Charm. I was so excited to chat with Patricia. I love her on Southern Charm, so let's chat with her.
Hello.
Hi, Patricia. It's Danny. How are you?
Danny. How nice to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Fine. We self-quarantined here. So I guess it was the 6th that we started. And Whitney, unfortunately, is stuck here with us.
Oh, my gosh.
With Michael and I.
So what have the three of you been up to since then?
Well, we've all been working here. Whitney is, he has to go downstairs and have a conference call. He'll just say hello.
Hi, Whitney.
Hi, Danny. Hi, nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you. Hey, Whitney, I know you produced the show. Can you get us the theme song back?
I would rather shoot myself.
Whitney, we need it. We need it.
Yeah, no, I know. You know, I can't remember from memory, even though I might or might not be lying.
Okay. Thank you, Whitney.
No, it's good. Hey, well, nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you, too.
Yeah, take care of Mom, please.
I will.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Will you take Peaches downstairs with you, please?
Oh, Lord. Come here.
I have a new puppy. And
oh, what kind of puppy?
She's a Pomeranian.
Okay.
And she's driving all the other dogs crazy, but if she starts barking, I won't be able to hear you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so, Patricia, during a time like this where you're stuck at home, are you someone who watches TV? Do you read? Do you do crafts? Like, what do you do?
Crafts? Are you kidding?
Well, I had to ask.
Yes. I'm knitting a rug.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I mean, I have all kinds of things that keep me busy. I work with my secretary. You know, we do it with email and FedEx and on the phone. I work with her every day till 2. I'm doing a line for home shopping.
Oh, that's so exciting.
We do. Yeah, we're going to do upscale things for the home. Beautiful upscale things. So we're changing the whole kind of concept of interior design based on Mario Bawada's sense of aesthetics.
Well, I know you have the most flawless taste. I was looking for towel recommendations on Instagram, and you had recommended some to me. And also, I just have to say, while we're talking about it, thank you. You also sent me La Mer face cream, which is my most prized possession. Patricia.
Well, you know, it works. And
it's so good.
I listen to your podcast and I hear about the mask that you use, and I've seen pictures of the mask that you use. And I was concerned for your skin.
Well, I appreciate it. Now my skin can't go back now that I'm using the La Mer. It just can't. I can't go backwards.
It actually works. I mean, it's kind of silly to pay those prices, and I wouldn't do it except that I've tried so many different things. And people are always asking me about my skin because it's pretty good for somebody who's 112 years old. So.
Oh, gosh. Have you always used La Mer, or is there another product that you recommend? Anything else that you use that you can impart your wisdom onto us?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've got 15 things in there. Yeah. I could go through the litany, and I change frequently because
yeah.
I have very sensitive skin. So, you know, if the newest thing comes out and it's supposed to be, you know, the best with, you know, whatever the latest is, I'll try it. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to irritate my skin. So
right.
It's probably not a good idea. I think everybody should go to a dermatologist,
mm-hmm.
have that doctor analyze their skin type, and then, you know, set up a program for them individually.
Right. Well, Patricia, I got to ask you about Southern Charm. I assume you guys have all stopped filming right now?
Yes, as of today, they were doing a couple of interviews, but yeah. And I must say, Whitney does not like the theme song.
He does not like it. Why doesn't he like it? We need it.
I like it. Everybody likes it. He has very, the people, the bands I've never heard of.
Right.
You know, he thinks it's kind of a silly theme song.
Well, I mean, what if we got him redoing it? He's a musician. What if we got him to do the Bop-a-Doos for the intro and had him do it? Would that be a compromise? Is that something we can make happen?
I don't think that's going to happen. You know, he really, people think that he has more power to change things than he does.
Yeah.
Because he's on the show. It would be a conflict of interest if he were able to edit, for example.
Oh, right. Does he like being on the show, or does he prefer kind of the backstage stuff?
he really doesn't like to be on the show.
Yeah.
He does it because they want him to be on the show.
Right.
And they kind of like his snarkiness. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he gets that.
Well, I also think he's great because he's one of like the connector type people. Like, I feel like he's friendly with everyone in the cast, and in all of the shows that we watch, I feel like we always need someone that can kind of bring people together.
Well, he's friendly with everybody, even though he will call them to task.
Yeah.
You know, whenever the occasion presents. But I think he prefers to go out to dinner with them or drinks and not be filmed.
Yeah.
He's working on 6 or 7 other big projects, and that's what he's good at, and that's what he really likes.
Oh, that's great. Well, but, Patricia, how's filming been going for you? Have you been shooting much for the next season?
It seems like I have. I can't talk too much about it, but sure. I'm hoping that if everybody will stay put and not be running around and, you know, putting other people in jeopardy, that we can get over this a lot sooner.
Right.
I mean, it's not so terrible to be by yourself. Well, what are you doing to entertain yourself?
It's funny. I've been talking to so many different Bravo celebrities for my podcast because I'm producing a couple extra episodes just to help take people's minds off things. And it's been very helpful because it's helped keep my own mind off things. So I don't mind either. I'm someone who likes to stay in, and I do a lot of work on my own, and so it doesn't bother me too much. And I agree with you. I just wish everyone would kind of hunker down so that we can move past this much quicker. I've been seeing on the news, you know, people in different areas just like going out, and I get frustrated. I'm like, let's let this pass, and let's help this to pass.
Well, millennials think they're invincible, mm-hmm. but in fact, I just saw a report, and I don't know if you saw the crowds at Clearwater Beach.
Right, in Florida, yeah.
In Florida, I mean, it looked like there were 1,000 people, but they say that when young people get this and it's serious for them, it can affect their lungs forever. Mm. They can seriously damage themselves by contracting this disease, so... I mean, I see carriages go by filled with tourists here in Charleston, and I don't understand why they take such a cavalier attitude.
I know, and I've been seeing on social media different people almost bragging that they're out in at bars and restaurants and stuff like that, and I don't know, it's frustrating to watch.
I couldn't agree more.
Anyway, I'm asking everyone, like, is there a movie that you love that makes you feel good, like a comfort food movie, or is there something you watch that makes you feel good? I mean, so many of the listeners, like, we watch Bravo and we watch your show, and I wonder, is there anything that you put on anytime to just make you feel good?
Well, I like Turner Classic movies, and I like the kind of high society comedies from the 30s and 40s. Mm. I find them outrageous and entertaining.
Yeah.
But I will pull up Auntie Mame and watch it.
Right.
You know, it's very uplifting and fun.
Yeah. I was just talking to Lisa Rinna, and she was saying she puts on Turner Classic Movies too. And I think it's a channel that, especially now where every channel feels like we're being bombarded with this dark news, that's like one of the channels we can put on and just kind of like transport to another time, which is great.
Absolutely. And also, it's a good time to get caught up with your reading.
Right.
You know, I think people tend to be addicted to social media, and mm-hmm. they've forgotten to enjoy a good book.
Right. I know, it's a perfect time to catch up on all that.
And also, my big event this early morning was getting all my makeup organized.
Mm,
I mean,
yeah.
You can clean out drawers, organize your clothes,
yeah.
redo your kitchen.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff to do. And also, you can have a cocktail. Is Michael making you cocktails?
Well, when Whitney came in, he came in right when you called me.
Uh-huh.
He handed me his cocktail to try, which is kale, beet juice.
Oh, that's no fun.
Ginger, lemon, and some other god awful thing.
Oh no,
that's it's gross. Brown. It's right. Actually brown sludge. Ugh. So.
So gross.
He's been living in LA too long.
I know. Wait, so what's your cocktail of choice? I mean, I know you like your martini, right?
I like my martini, but Michael makes a mean bourbon sour. We call it a slushy.
Okay.
And
can you tell us really like a little bit what's in it? It's bourbon and...
I have no idea, yeah, but he does it in, you know, he crushes ice and it's got a maraschino cherry and orange slices in it.
Yum.
It's yum, delicious. Yum.
Well, Patricia, before I let you go, I have sort of a cheesy question, but I've been asking everyone, is there one sort of a motivational quote, or is there something that you hold on to when you're really stressed or when you're having a tough time? Is there something you tell yourself or something that you do to make you feel better, aside from, you know, the movies or things like that? Like, is there something you can leave listeners with that might uplift them or make them feel better?
Well, there's that Ogden Nash quote, candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Oh, I love that. That's perfect. That's perfect. Patricia, thank you so much for chatting with us. Anything else you can spoil about the upcoming season of Southern Charm?
What can I tell you? Well, it's going to be different.
Okay.
It's going to be different than seasons past. There are going to be some new people.
That's exciting.
Anyone
gone?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
It just kind of has a new look, and I'm afraid that there's some dramatic things happening, which I'm not happy about, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh, but maybe it'll be good TV, though?
Oh, it'll probably be very good TV.
Oh, good.
But let's just say I'm going to keep Mr. Kale busy this season.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know we're still probably a ways away from the new season. But, Patricia, I love watching you on TV, and I'm so grateful you were so kind to send that gift to me. So thank you also for taking the time to talk to us. And hopefully, if I'm over in Charleston or you're ever here in L.A., like, I'd love to sit down with you and talk even more. But thank you for giving us your life on TV, because when we're all stressed, watching you guys and the cast of Southern Charm really helps us out. So thank you.
Oh, well, good. Well, thank you, and stay safe.
Thank you, Patricia. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. I hope so. Bye-bye.
Shall we get Bronwyn on the line from Orange County? Let's talk to Bronwyn.
Hello?
Hi, Bronwyn. It's Danny. How are you?
Oh, hey, Danny.
How's it going?
Hi. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. What are you doing to stay sane right now? Like, are you binge watching anything? Are you just hanging out with the kids? Like, what's going on there?
Currently, I'm in my front yard, 12 feet away from one of my best friends. And this was our conversation between three of us. Are you still at Bronwyn's picking up paper towels? My other friend's like, yes, I'll be right there. I'm dropping off toilet paper at Ursula's and I'll pick up my cauliflower rice. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Planning.
It's like kibbutz living over here.
Right. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. I'm just trying to take people's minds off things for a little bit. So I appreciate it. And Bravo, there's nothing better to take all of our minds off things than Bravo. So thank you.
That's true. No, I mean, we're definitely, this is like one of those times where having seven kids is a blessing and a curse. Because right. On one hand, it's a lot of kids, but they're all keeping each other entertained right now.
And you're just under the cap for the 10 people rule.
I know, right? If they make it any smaller, I'm going to have to loan some out to people.
That's funny. Tell me about, are you guys, the filming is shut down, right? You're not filming right now.
Yeah, we haven't, I think this is day 4 or 5. So, yeah, we finished Saturday, was our last day of filming.
And how was the filming going up until the shutdown?
It was... I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I will have to say that I've been a fan of Bravo for many years. And some of the things that we're doing this season are like by far some of the most real and I think what's the word I'm looking for? Some of the most
authentic,
real and impactful storylines I've ever seen on a Real Housewife show, for sure.
And what's the vibe without Tamara and Vicky around? Is it, are you feeling better about it? Like, what's the vibe?
I mean, I obviously, everyone knows Vicky never liked me. We didn't get along. And so I think that without, I think Vicky tried really hard last year to stay relevant. And in doing so, she brought an inauthenticity to the whole show that was hard to get around. You know, it was all just her trying to create drama where there wasn't any. And without that, it's, you know, we're able to actually connect on a much more real and personable and human level. You know, my relationships with these women in the past month are so much deeper than they were all of last season combined.
Wow. Wow. And how's Shannon doing without her other Trace Amigas or Abuelas or whatever they call them?
Trace Amigas, as Kelly called them. Trace Amigas. You know, she's good. I reached out to her right after we found out and I was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. So, I mean, Shannon's resilient. I think that's one thing that anyone who has watched this show for a number of years knows. Shannon is resilient.
Yeah, I'm excited to see her in kind of like a fresh light now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, she's having a good year. She's madly in love. She has a great guy, you know, great company. She's kind of coming into her glory, I would say. Good. Her and Kelly. Her and Kelly are both in just really good places right now.
Oh, good. I saw there was like a little drama because Kelly and Shannon had posted a picture together and then Tamara and Vicky had unfollowed her or something like that.
Did they unfollow her?
That's what I read.
Or because I know she unfollowed all of us just because, you know, it's hard when you're not a part of something to watch it. Like I do that with pregnant women because I love having babies. It's not personal, you know, it's just like, oh, I want to be pregnant. But I don't. Are you sure she just did it, or she hadn't done it a long time ago?
No,
I know she followed me a while ago.
Yeah, I have no. I truly have no idea. I just read it online, so I take everything I read in those blogs as fact.
I think that could have happened a while ago, just for, you know, her own sanity, and she wanted some distance from the show.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Now, there was some drama because Sean was wearing heels to an event, and what was your take on all of that?
He looked really hot.
He did look great. I like the heels on him.
I mean, no, I think, you know, our family has always done things our own way. And Jacob is so excited right now. I've never seen him so happy. So he was going to his first drag event. He was glowing. We had this amazing group of people supporting our family. And for anyone to think that Sean was being anything other than an amazing dad is kind of their issue, not mine. But I will say it was the catalyst for something pretty incredible that I'm working on right now. And I cannot wait to get back to filming so I can share this all with everyone. It's my new passion project, and I'm pretty excited.
Oh, good. I can't wait. I think it's an amazing thing to support the drag community and the LGBTQ community. So I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else is to come next season? So you filmed, I believe, a vow renewal. Do we see that on social media?
Well, you saw stuff on social media, and I will say, look, I'm not new to reality TV. I know vow renewals are typically cursed.
Right.
But
right.
Hey, honey, that's my other neighbor who's getting cauliflower rice. Love you.
Love you.
I will say that we renewed our vows for our 10-year anniversary. And we wanted to do something fun and silly, and it's definitely not what people think it's going to be. It's definitely in line with Sean and I and the fact that our life is a shit show, and we just roll with it.
Right. So you're not concerned about the curse of the renewal?
I mean, we renewed them 10 years ago. We're still here.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, we can't get divorced. We have 7 kids. If we had to share custody, that means we'd be stuck alone with
them. That would be a nightmare.
That would be a nightmare.
okay, Bronwyn. So everyone is feeling like a lot of anxiety. I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I feel like we're all experiencing a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty in the world and everything. So I want to ask you, this is a very cheesy question, but like, is there something that you kind of take with you that makes you feel better when you're feeling stressed or troubled? Like, is there a piece of advice or something that you hold on to that really helps you in dark times? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, I mean, this sounds kind of corny, but it's like, what do you have control over and what do you not? Mm-hmm. And I can't change the coronavirus. I can't change what's about to happen. But stressing about it isn't going to change the outcome. So today I'm going to do today. Today is Tuesday and I'm going to build Legos. I'm going to try on wigs and I'm going to try to put on a show with my kids. Mm. You know, that's all I can do today. I can't, and stressing about things I can't control isn't going to change the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what can I do? I can be the calm centering force in my family with my kids, especially my teenagers who have a lot of anxiety, Rowan especially. So that's what I can do today. I can be a calm centering force.
That's great. That's great. Well, Bronwyn, thank you so much for chatting with us. I'm just trying to take people's minds off things. So I really appreciate you calling in and hopefully we can record in person at some point. I would love to chat with you more, especially when the next season comes on.
Yeah, that'd be great. Stay safe and
you know,
keep keeping everyone entertained. We need it right now.
Oh my God, one more thing. Wait, is there a new girl? There's a new woman on Orange County? Did they hire just one new girl? Can you answer that?
You're going to have to wait and see. You know I can't answer that.
I know, but I had to try. Bronwyn, thank you so much. Have a great day. Okay,
right, bye.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Finally, I think we need to talk to Sheena Shea, our Shishi. It's important we talk to her during this time of need. Could talk about enchiladas, all of it. Let's get Sheena on the line.
Hello.
Sheena?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, just getting settled in my house.
Wait, so tell us, you're in Palm Springs right now, right?
Yeah. Let me turn off my Elton John. Alexa, pause.
What were you listening to? Wait, what Elton John was it?
Tiny Dancer.
Oh, classic. It's All Happening. That's another Almost Famous.
I know.
Wow. You must really love Almost Famous.
I do. Penny Lane is here in Salem. They're acclimating to their new home.
So what are you planning on doing for the next little while? I mean, we're all kind of stuck at home. Will you be watching movies, TV shows, reading? Like, what will you be up to?
I'll probably binge Love is Blind to see what all the hype is about.
It's so good.
I will definitely be vlogging. I'm going to do 2 to 3 videos a week right now. I brought my podcast equipment, so I'm going to do exactly what you're doing and like phone in some of my Jersey Housewives, Beverly Hills, and eat a lot of food. I made 4 trays of enchiladas last night, so there's just like enough to freeze and eat in case the zombies come.
Wait, Sheena, you know, I'm so excited. Did you finally release this enchilada recipe?
So it'll be on my quarantine vlog. So yesterday when I was cooking them, I just like propped the camera up in the kitchen and I showed all of the ingredients. Wait, there's golfers on the golf course. It's not closed.
What?
This could be so much fun. I could take up golfing.
Oh my God. Yeah. Even if it is closed, I think you could just golf by yourself. I mean, just go, right? Just go and golf.
Yeah. Well, they have a golf cart though. I'm like, wait, I guess the club is still open. Huh. Interesting. Anyway.
Okay.
But,
so back to the enchiladas.
Enchiladas. Yes.
I am so excited about this.
So it's not my exact recipe because some of the ingredients I get from a Mexican place in Azusa, like very specific to make them. But I did a version of them that literally anyone anywhere can make with all canned goods, packaged chicken, the only tortillas I could find after going to four stores.
Right.
So I prefer corn tortillas, but I basically will just have a little breakdown of how you can make them from canned goods.
There's nothing I'd rather watch right now. And that's going to be on you have a new YouTube channel, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's where we can see it.
Yeah. So that video will come up probably Monday or Wednesday of next week. Actually, no, this one will come up Wednesday of next week because I'm going to do a full 7-day quarantine and it's going to be the first week of my life in isolation.
You know, you got a lot of heat online because you had said something. Oh, I didn't see the video, but I had heard, right? Did you say you weren't quarantining or something like that?
I just said, I was like, I mean, I was just in Toronto for a job. And yes, I know there's news all over the world, but I'm a person who genuinely avoids the news at all costs. I don't look at it on Twitter. I don't look at it on my browser. I don't read my Yahoo news. I don't watch the news. I just prefer to only know the highlights of what's going on in the world because it's very negative. I've never turned on the news and in the first five stories not seen something about a child being murdered or something just devastating.
It's dark.
I don't watch it.
Yeah.
So I was just living my best life up in Toronto. I was like, oh, okay, we couldn't go to the CN Tower because it was closed and there were certain things, but I was just having fun. We get to the airport, it's empty. There was no like screening, nothing. Then it kind of hit me when I got on the plane and we had one of the huge planes where it's 3-4-3. And no joke, there were less than 20 people on the entire plane.
Wow. Yeah.
So every person had their own row. My mom's like, why didn't you ask to be upgraded to first class? I was like, honestly, I didn't even think about it. I was just happy I had my own row. I passed out, slept the whole flight. I land. My parents picked Justice and I up from the airport. And I was like, oh, can we just run to the store? Like, I want to grab a few things. And that's where I started vlogging. I brought my camera into the grocery store because I'm like, I'm just going to see what all this hype is about. There's no way in Marina del Rey, somewhere no one wants to drive, that the stores would be empty. Like, that's just not possible. And so I have my camera and my mom's walking around the grocery store and she's like, Sheena, you're embarrassing. Put that. I was like, Mom, this is my job for the next however long. Like, this, I'm a vlogger now, so I'm going to document my life. She's still getting used to that. But sure. So we're in the store and I'm shook. I was like, hold up. Wait, all of the shelves really are empty. And then I'm like, I can't believe it. The lines are insane. There's 50 people per line. I was like, I can't do this. My anxiety, no. So we leave, I go home and I'm just like on Twitter that night and I'm like, what? I don't get what, why is everyone freaking out? Like, I'm just going to live my best life. Like, whatever. Like, I'm just going to keep, you know, like living as is or whatever it was I said. I think I said, I'm not going to live in fear or like solo isolation. I'm going to keep living my life. And people just tore me apart. This all started because the first tweet I said, I was like, hey, I was like, any of my friends working from home this week, come quarantine with me at my house in Palm Springs. Like, you know, beautiful view. If you have to work from home, this is the best place to be. And so many people were like, the whole point of quarantining is like social distancing, not to be around people. This, I'm like, I can have people over to my house. Like, if they're young, healthy friends and they're at my house, like, I don't see the big deal. And then that was when everyone's like, even if you could be asymptomatic, even if even if that.
The good news is you apologize for it. And, you know, you just weren't in the know. But, you know, I think it's a larger issue is that we're all on, as your co-star would say, on the brim. Like, I think we're all kind of just on the brim. And so, of course, people lost it. But the good news is you realized it. And now you're safely in Palm Springs and you apologize. So good.
Yeah, totally.
A lot of people would not have apologized, Sheena. So
I'm like, call me ignorant, but like, I just didn't realize the severity of this until the entire country is on a lockdown. I'm like, you can't go anywhere. So I'm like, no, now I understand how serious this is. I'm so sorry. I like took it lightly, but no, I'm a person who will always admit when I'm wrong. I'm not above that. I will apologize. Like, you see me do a lot probably this season coming up.
Wait, what do you do coming up?
You'll see some conversations with Dana. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to own my shit. Like, sorry. I mean, I did what I did. We either move on from it or we don't. But, you know, I'm going to apologize for it. And you either accept it or you don't. And she did. And we're really good right now. So,
oh, good. So you guys have a little trouble, but you're good right now. You know, I am so mad at these men. I don't like how Brett and this Max are treating you. Or kind of stirring up all the drama with the girls. From what we've seen, it's just frustrating to watch.
It is, because, like, I'm in such a good place with Max. Like, he literally is, I mean, other than my boyfriend and Tom Sandoval and, like, you know, like, Brett, like, Kenyon from Tom Tom, like, my gay best friend. Like, Max is one of the closest guys in my life. And so seeing this all back, it was pretty upsetting. But then I had to remind myself, like, we had a very rocky 6 months after we dated. And it wasn't until a weekend that we came to Palm Springs, like early June, before him and Dana were like exclusive, right when we started filming. And that weekend, we just like really bonded. And I was just like, we're homies. Like, you're just someone that I love being around. And I know we're better as friends. And we got so much closer since then. So it's like, I have to remind myself that all of these things that he is saying were before we were even in the place that we're in now. And if he were to ever say anything like that today, I would cut his dick off.
Good.
But
what about Brett? What about Brett being a dick?
That's the thing. Brett has no excuse. We were always good. I took him in. I told him what to do, what not to do, what to avoid, how to never do something because maybe a producer suggested if it's out of character for you, if it's something you would do and it's a good suggestion, by all means, do it. Like I do. If they're like, hey, do you think it'd be a good idea to film a video here? I'm like, yeah, okay, great idea. Let's do it. If it's like something I would never do, then don't do it. And so it's like, I really tried to just be there for him because I know what it's like just getting thrown into this world. I mean, and especially now that I'm doing YouTube, it is night and freaking day. I mean,
what do you mean?
YouTube is, it's positive.
Oh.
People are there watching your videos because they're a fan of you.
Yeah.
People are watching the show to hate on you and then go on social media to hate on you. People aren't going on my YouTube to be like, you're so annoying in this video, I can't stand. It's like, no, it's all the lighthearted fun stuff.
Well, I think because your cast is so big, it's like people are naturally attracted to certain people. And I always feel like it changes all the time. And I think that's one of the fun things about watching reality TV is like some seasons you really like Stassi, or some seasons you really like Kristen or whoever. And it changes all the time. But you're right, on a YouTuber or podcast or something like that where people are subscribing because they like you, I think it's probably a much different response.
Totally. It's like when you go to a concert, you're not going to a concert because you hate their music.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to pay to go see a show that you hate. So it's like, I'm getting a little taste of that world now where I'm like, you're not going to come to my YouTube. I mean, I'm sure that some, there's going to be like the 2% who come to hate, but it's like out of the hundreds of comments that have already been left, I think there's been two, not even like negative. It was like, oh, you would make another social media to talk about yourself. It's all about you. I'm like, isn't that what social media is?
Yeah. And you know what? There's lots of money to be made in social media. So good for you. And exactly. Honestly, we all need to see that fucking enchilada recipe. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So that'll be out next week.
Wait. So tell me about these new people. It does feel like you're the only one of the OGs who are like interacting with the new cast members. Was that like intentional, or was it frustrating, or like what was the vibe going in with that?
I think I am one of the few people who originally, like one of the OGs, I think that I'm one of the few of them who still takes this job and show seriously and knows that it's a show based around a restaurant. And if none of us are at the restaurant, then what show is it?
Right.
And so I am the only one, I feel like, I'll probably get shit for saying this, but I don't feel that I'm above being at Serve when that's my job. That's where the show started, and I'm so thankful for it. But at the same time, it's impossible to work a normal shift. It's not that I'm better than it. It's impossible. And especially at a place where we pull tips, it's not fair to the other servers who are putting in 100% and I'm there giving my tables 25% because I'm too busy taking photos.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, and also like I enjoy going into Sir. I go in at least once a week for dinner because I love meeting the fans. I'm not like someone who wants to avoid meeting people. If I could do meet and greets and it was like a safe world we lived in all the time, I would. Yeah. But that's my thing when I go to Sir. I'm like, people, like, if we don't have fans, we don't have a show. Like, I think I just take it seriously, and that's why I'm still there.
And you're still keeping the lights on over there, because I feel like you and Kristen, there's a few of you who I feel like are really giving it to us this season and giving us what we want out of the show, and so I thank you for that.
Yes, are welcome.
I interviewed Brandi Glanville a couple weeks ago.
I was listening to that on my way here.
Oh my God, thank you so much. But I wondered, we were talking a little bit, I don't remember if this was on the episode or off, about starting Vanderpump Rules. And it's like, we kind of forget, but it was that scene between the two of you that really like launched this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I wonder, were you, she was telling me how she didn't necessarily want to film that scene at all. And I wonder, did you want to film that scene, or were you like dreading it, or what was the vibe with you for that first scene where you go into Sir after your sit down?
Yeah. I mean, who would want to film that? And especially when we're shooting a pilot and like the first episode, like I'm not getting paid. She's not on Vanderpump Rules. She's not getting paid. So it's like, did we want to have that free conversation and be exploited on national television? No, neither of us wanted to. But I knew that I wanted to apologize to her. And if that needed to take place on camera and that was going to be my job for, you know, the next year or now going on 8, 9, then that's what I needed to do. And I was more than happy to put it out there for the whole world, because this was something that a lot of people had, you know, given me shit about. I'm a home wrecking whore, this, that, and the other. But I'm like, why is no one blaming the guy? Like, I'm sorry, I was a 21-year-old girl fresh out of college who didn't know who he was because, sorry, newsflash, you're not famous. iPhones weren't a thing. I didn't know what IMDb was. I didn't Google people. I don't even think I had, like, a MacBook at the time. Like, I think I still had my college, like, Dell or whatever it was. So. Sure. Back then, it was like, I mean, I didn't feel that I had done anything wrong when I met him because I didn't know he was married. Once I found out he was married and I cut it off, then it was like I knew that I owed this woman an apology. And when and if she would ever be ready to hear it, I was ready to give it. It just so happened that it was on camera.
Well, it's one of those things, too. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but it's like I'm sure she's grateful that it happened because – I mean, everything kind of happens for a reason. And not that what you did was necessarily good. I'm not saying that. But, you know, everything kind of happens and works out, I believe, the way it's supposed to work out.
Yeah.
Anyway, she had told me a bunch of, like, famous exes. And I was wondering, I know you infamously kind of dated John Mayer, which I want to – when you have more time to, like, sit down and chat with me, like, I want to get into it. But
yeah.
Is there any other famous exes that we might not know about?
The hot gardener from Desperate Housewives.
Oh my God, Jesse Metcalf. He's so sexy. He's so sexy. Was it like a serious thing or like a little fling?
It was like, it was right around, oh my God, it was St. Patrick's Day, which is today.
Oh my God.
St. Patrick's Day, 2007. Because then we were together through my 22nd birthday. Up until like June. So it was like, what, March, April, May, June, like 4 months.
So was he on Desperate Housewives at the time, or was it after or before?
I think it was after, because I remember watching that show when I was in college, and he was my number one celebrity crush. I just thought he was, oh my God, when John Tucker Must Die came out, I was like, I need some John Tucker in my life. And I actually met him at the same place I met Rob. How crazy is that?
Oh my God, Rob.
Joseph.
Wait, so was Jesse Metcalf, this is inappropriate, but was he good in bed?
Yeah. Oh no, he was great. And he also, which I don't think a lot of people know, he's a very talented singer and guitar player.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember he sang me "Hey There, Delilah," and at the same time, I was also working on background of Greek, and the Plain White Tees did the theme song. It was just like so many things like were like full circling around that time. But he was great. I met his parents. We did like my birthday dinner with them, and yeah, he was awesome. I don't have a bad thing to say about him.
You know, I said this to Brandi too, but I feel like you both have like really hot taste in men. I'm not saying it's necessarily the best taste in men, because, you know, sometimes they could be duds, but like you like some hot guys, and I appreciate that. Like, I think gay men really appreciate like when you like a hot guy. And Brandi said she just likes to, you know, have some good sex with some hot guys, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, when I was listening to that, I was like, oh my God, her and I have so many things and probably other people in common, considering we've both slept with someone from The Notebook.
Wait, so you slept with someone? I know, I wasn't sure if I could bring this up, but you texted me that you had also hooked up with someone from The Notebook. Was it James Marsden?
I'm not going to answer that question.
I think it was James Marsden. And if so, he's gorgeous. I mean, even if it was Ryan Gosling.
Hey, all of the guys in that movie are gorgeous.
They all are. I know. You know, it's funny, like that interview I did with Brandy got like picked up everywhere. And one of the outlets that picked it up, they had been trying to figure out who the person from The Notebook was. And they put like James Garner, who's like the old man, in it. And I was like, I don't think Brandy fucked him. Like,
oh my God.
So we're going to assume it was one of the young people, right? Like it was one of the James Marsden or Ryan. I think it was James Marsden. That's my thought.
There were other guys in that movie.
Kevin Connolly, the guy from Entourage,
saying there were other people in that movie.
Well, they're all hot, and I applaud you for it. And now you have a gorgeous boyfriend. I met him at the Fancy AF book signing, and truly stunning. Like, he's just as gorgeous. Is he Australian, or what is he?
So he was born in New Zealand, raised in Australia. So his accent's a little bit of a hybrid.
Oh, my God. He's so sexy.
But his passport is Kiwi.
He's beautiful. Like, beautiful.
I know. He is. And then I heard Brandy say, she's like, Sheena, if you're listening, stop with the hot men. I was like, no. But the thing is, I've actually never been in a serious relationship with someone like super hot like Brock. Like, obviously, like, Shay was good looking, Rob was good looking, like, I would you know, but like I've never been with someone where it's like, you make my vagina drip and I want to rip your clothes off.
Oh my God. This podcast is to help people take their minds off things, and you're doing just that. Thank you.
Awesome.
will he be on the show, do you think? Is he going to do it next season?
I don't want him to, and he doesn't really care to. But I mean, also, it's like, he lives in San Diego and he's running a business down there, which he's very stressed out about right now with everything closing.
Sure.
But like, that's where his life is, and I'm a part of his life in San Diego. He's a part of mine when he can be in LA, but he really doesn't care to do the show. Like, and I mean, who knows if we're even going to be in production anytime soon this year, we're going to get picked up. Like, we don't know anything, but let's just say if we started filming around the same time as we do every year and have, you know, Tom and Ariana's birthdays, like, those are his two closest friends in my group. He wouldn't miss those type of events, but are you going to see him and I, like, you know, sitting on my couch at home and making dinner and doing all that stuff together? Probably not, but it's going to be his choice. So,
well, I like getting a little taste of people, but maybe not necessarily. Like, I would be scared to put a relationship on there where people can like judge it and stuff.
That's why you're going to see everything Brock and I on my YouTube produced and edited by me.
You are a master promoter with this YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We're all going to be going to watch it.
So in 2 weeks, we are going to have a Meet My Boyfriend video. Oh, and it's going to be the first, because we've been together 6 months now. So it'll be the first 6 months of our relationship from literally the first day we hung out. I have photos of us and I have a video of our first kiss.
Oh my God, Sheena.
I know. It was so crazy. Like, just one of my friend Jim Broutman, he's been on the show here and there. He's the candy man. He used to work for Dylan's Candy.
Okay.
So he's like my like 50-something-year-old friend who I go to music festivals and concerts with. I love him. He's like family.
Okay. I love the idea of this. You and a 50-something-year-old man. Like, that should be its
amazing.
Own show.
Yeah. So he actually... A funny story, but I'll save that for later. I'm going to see if it airs on the show, but he brought some special candy to Sandoval's birthday party and Max ate a little too many. But
oh my God. I was at that birthday party.
Yeah. If you listen to the podcast that I did with Max a few months back, you'll get the whole story. It was hilarious. But anyways, Jim and I are at Caboo together with a couple of my girlfriends, and he's like, I love him so much, but he's like that annoying dad. He's like, get a picture. Let me get a picture. Let me get a picture. It's like, dad, I don't want to take any more pictures. But I'm so thankful he did that, because I have a photo with Brock and we had known each other not even 24 hours. Oh. And then he did the dirty dancing move with me and kissed me when I came down out of that move. And people got that on camera. So YouTube video is going to be from that day up until quarantine.
Ryan Gosling did that move in the movie Crazy Sexy Love or Crazy Stupid Love. And I wonder, did Ryan Gosling do that to you when you hooked up with him?
Brock is the first man to nail this move with me. I'll say that.
Well, Brock is very sexy, and I look forward to seeing more. Also, I just have to say that he seemed like, I only met him super briefly, but he seemed like such a nice guy, so that's great, too.
Yeah.
And he was talking at the book signing. My dad was talking to him for a while. Like, I think they like sat down and chatted, and I was like, oh, yeah. He's like really nice. So, Sheena, thank you so much. One last thing just before I let you go. I want to sit down and chat with you about John Mayer. Did you read the Jessica Simpson book?
I haven't, but when I heard you and Brandy talking about it, I'm like, wait, I do need to read it because I wonder if like there's anything similar to like what I know about him.
There is one thing in there. There is a one passage where I was like, I think she's referring to you. Like, I swear to
God. Stop.
I swear
what did
God.
She say?
There's like a, she's talking about the album Battle Studies. And she says like he brought her that album and she suspected it to be about other women that he was like seeing at the time. And I did the math. Sheena, I did the math. And I was like, Sheena could have been one of the women that he was.
Wait, what year was this?
I mean, I forget now, but it was like 2008 or something.
Okay. Yeah, that was that time.
It was like right around Jennifer Aniston. And
yes, the books, exactly. Because I was right after Jennifer Aniston because I met him when he was right with her and it was at the tail end of their relationship.
And so in the book, it's sort of implied that it's Jennifer Aniston, but she doesn't say Jennifer Aniston. I was like, it could be Sheena. Like it was right around that time. Anyway, so read it. It's good.
I'm gonna have to read it.
And he does not come across well in the book. But I loved her for, she goes there with the people and it's great.
Ooh, I got to read this. I got nothing but time right now.
Oh, read
it. I'm staying in my house in Palm Springs for the next 2 weeks.
And please,
I got enough food.
Please message me throughout the John Mayer chapters. Like if you read something and you're like, oh, I know this or whatever, please tell me.
Okay. Okay, well.
Sheena, okay, thank you so much for helping take our minds off things. And I'll hopefully see you in person soon and we can chat more. But we love you. And I've been saying
this all comes down. Yeah.
I've been saying all season justice for Shishi this season.
That's, I know. I love you. You're the best.
Oh, thank you, Sheena. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Again, I want to thank you all for listening. I hope you're staying safe, staying healthy, and staying sane. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Cameo. If you want a Cameo, cameo.com/Danny Pellegrino for those of you who know what that is. And if you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you click become a patron, you could donate $4 more per month. You get access to all the bonus episodes. More importantly, you're just helping to support this podcast. So thank you to everyone who's over there. There's a bonus Q&A that I did for the month of March. And yeah, that's it. That's the show for today. I'll be back later this week with some recaps of Vanderpump Rules. I'm going to try to add Atlanta into there too at some point. But subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. You can listen there and you'll get all of the new episodes that way. Speaking of podcasts, I do want to recommend everyone check out Lance Bass has a podcast called The Daily Popcast, I think it's called, P-O-P-C-A-S-T. And last week, he had interviews with every one of the members of NSYNC. So each day was a different interview with a member of NSYNC. He did JC and Justin and Chris and Joey. And it was so interesting. I listened to the JC one because JC's my prince, but I loved hearing about the NSYNC days, and they talk about No Strings Attached because it's like the 20th anniversary. So go check that out if you're looking for like a nostalgia hit. I highly recommend it. Okay, with all of that said, I think we need to do our little cheesy breathing exercises. We all need to take a deep breath in, hold it, breathe out. Let's take another deep breath in, hold it, breathe out. Let's take another deep breath in, hold it. Think about a pop culture that you're grateful for. Breathe out. Now, I'm so grateful that we have things like Bravo and Netflix and Hulu and all of these things that are there for us while we're dealing with all of this craziness outside. And I'm so grateful. So I just hope you hold on to the things that you're grateful for. It's so important right now to keep us sane and happy. So I love you all so much for listening. Let's take one more deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.